faces over there today, which is really a blessing to see that, especially, you know, when we see, get when the staff helps. You know, very rarely do we get any that kind of thing from the staff, so it was a blessing. So, well, we're going to talk about things I think I've talked about before when I've been up here, about praising the Lord. You know, we've heard a lot of great preaching and stuff about serving the Lord and being a witness for the Lord and stuff like that, but, you know, all part of it is that we need to remember to praise the Lord in there. You know, because he's good to us and all that. And I know a very familiar psalm that I'm going to come from is Psalms 100. And one of the things that we've been talking about in the nursing home this year is who or what is Jesus to you? You know, now we've all heard the preaching and stuff like that and doing things like that. But who is he actually to you, you know? And that's something that, you know, the folks in the, you know, sometimes we get inundated with so much going on in our lives that, you know, it's just we can, you know, put Jesus aside and not realize that we've done it and stuff like that. So again, so that's part of our, to me, for me, that's part of our witnessing is praising the Lord and all that. You know, and so I was thinking that these kids were supposed to be here. The pastor told me they're doing the patch thing tonight. Well, you know, so now I have to stretch. No, I got plenty of, but anyway, so praise God for that. You know, so, you know, with that, when we think about our young kids and all that, you know, I sure wish my mom would have done that for me when I was younger. Maybe I'd have gotten saved at an earlier age and all that, you know, and I can go back and think all those things. But, you know, God had a plan for me, and I got saved exactly the day God wanted me to get saved and all that. So, you know, so we go through things in life and stuff like that, you know, and we have to remember, you know, we don't know why. We go through the good things or the bad things, but, you know, God has a reason for everything. You know, and sometimes it's tough to think, man, what is the reason I'm going through this? But, you know, God has that plan. So, again, so a part of when we think about it, that's all a part of our loving the Lord, being part of the Lord, being saved, doing what God wants us to do and all that. And I've titled this little message I have, and it's for me. A lot, and it's for the folks in the nursing home, is praising God in my old age. And all that, you know, and again, like I said, we can get busy doing things and forget that how well God is doing it and what he's doing in our life, you know. You know, as we see these kids, you know, they grow in the Lord, and, you know, praise God that we do. But, you know, even where we're at my age, 70 or above, we still got to grow in the Lord too. Amen. You know, we're not just to sit back and say, well, I'm done with life, and, you know, and, you know. So, again, when we think about that, and one of the things that caught my mind, the pastor asked me about 3 or 4 weeks ago to fill in for him and all that, and I came across something, and it's called the Via Dolorosa, and I don't know what that means, but what it means, the way of suffering of the Lord. And I got to thinking, and it was an article about how the Lord was going up to Calvary, what he did and what he went through, you know. And, you know, we all hear the things about what he did on Easter. We focus on Easter, you know, how he went through the mock trial and everything and all that. And then he was beaten severely, not recognizable as a man and stuff. But he carried that cross on his back. And that cross, you know, it could have been anywhere from 30 to 50 pounds or even more. But he carried that cross. And when he was walking up that road, which is 650 yards or so from where the palace was, where Golgotha was, and he was carrying that cross. How can I take that so lightly? How can that not bring us to our knees and thank him and praise him and thank him for us? You know, and I really got to thinking about that, you know, and it's just, you know, and then when he was there on the cross, as I was telling the folks today, he was still doing what God told him to do. One of the thieves got saved on the cross. You know, think of those seven sayings that it was saying, you know, forgive them for they know not what they're doing. Wow. You know, when we think about it, so how often do we reflect on those types of things, the things that he's done? You know, many of us are probably, everybody here is probably saved. When was the last time you just really sat down and thought about what Jesus did for you? When was the last time you just, whoo, praise God? We just heard sang a song, did we not? I didn't hear one amen other than me. I'm not bragging about myself, but that's what I'm talking about. He holds tomorrow. And that's what we're talking about here. If we can't do it here, how are you going to do it when you go out into the world? You know, and that's what it's about. You know, praise is another way of opening the door of witnessing. You know that? If we're praising God, people are saying, man, Jonathan, I see God working in your life. Bill, you got saved not too long ago. Wow. What's going on? You guys had a new baby. Wow, look at God. He's blessing. See what he's doing in our lives. So, again, so praise is purposely speaking robustly and speaking loudly. I know y'all can do it. Amen? All right. We're getting better. All right. It can be an amen, praise the Lord, and thank you, Jesus. Anything that touches your heart. And you're acknowledging what Jesus had done in your life. And you are complimenting the Lord as he continues to work in your life. You're glorifying, magnifying the Lord who he is and what he's done in your life. And since you're worshiping through adoration and admiration. Amen? All right. Praise is thanking God for what he's done and is doing and continues to do. He's never going to leave you. He's always working in our lives. You know, we come on Wednesday nights and we hear all the wonderful praises, and that's great. But are you sharing that outside this house with others? Amen? Praise is telling of his wonderful acts and lifting the great name to the heavens. Praise is meaningful and heartful cheers of thankfulness, hand clapping, foot stomping, and the like. But it's also an acceptance of one's situation, submission to his lordship, acceptance to his will for your life, and rejoicing in his plan, his eternal plan. We have a future. We know who holds tomorrow. We know where we're going. Amen? So, God has chosen praising him through his children as one of the ways to manifest himself and to reveal himself. He came from heaven to reveal himself to man, did he not? And during all that time, God was writing this book for us. And he's revealed himself there. And now he's revealed himself within us. And we need to let others to see what's the difference. Instead of burning down buildings and whatever they're doing, why aren't we praising God and being in church and, man, this is what God's doing. He'll take care of these people. He'll work out those situations. But we want to do it our way instead of God's ways many times. So we have to understand that. So God has chosen praising him through his children, like you said. And then Psalms 22:3, but thou art holy, O thou inhabitest and praises of Israel. God was in the center of those. And that's Psalms 22:3. He's in the center of everything that goes on, whether we're praising him or not. But, you know, when we're giving him that praise and thanking him for everything, you know, it's easier for us to do things. It's easier for us to have that courage to step out boldly and do what God wants us to do. Amen? God is the central figure of power, authority, and honor in our praises. And he has, as he has with Israel, God's majesty and compassion is made known through us. We are acknowledging and thanking God that he has the right to rule and reign in our lives while we're praising him. You know, that's a significant fact, that we are part of God when you think about that. Now, we know our fleshly part's going to stay behind, but that inner person inside, it's got a place to go. And that's what we have to remember. Man, he walked up that road for me so I could go up there to be with him. While, you know, while all these things that we're talking about are important, it doesn't hurt to be boisterously vocal. I like that word. I thought, man, I wonder if that's a word. So I even spelled it. Yeah, it's a word. boastfully vocal while giving honor to him. There was a lady in this church, sat right about over there. She got saved in her later years. But I'll guarantee you, when God touched her heart, she stood up and she let everybody in this building know. And that's Miss Carol. Man, we love her to death, miss her. Look forward to seeing her again. But that's what, when God touched her heart, he touched it. And she wasn't as scared to tell you about it. You know, so that's what we wanted. That's the mindset that we need to be in is to praise God. You know, man, just to think of all that. So we're heading to that Psalms 100. So when we praise God and we are saying that whatever the outcome of our challenges and our prayers are, we are acknowledging him for his holy goodness and insight. He knows what we need. And what we're expressing is God's sovereignty. That his rule and his reign, and he has a right to do whatever he pleases. But, you know, when you think about that, he has chosen us to be a part of our lives. You know, glory to God. You know, that he wants to be a part of our lives and all that. So, the psalmist writes, as we'll go to Psalms 100 now. And, you know, this is a psalm, you can read it. You can read it, and then you can read it even more. And you can, if you ever wanted something just to meditate on, go out and sit on your back porch, read that psalm, and just start talking to God and read it again. You could spend hours upon hours upon hours just reading this psalm. Because that's going to lead you back to Jesus. Amen? So verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that ye, the Lord, is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Glory! Woo! We don't need to go any further, do we? Enter in his gates with thanksgiving and enter the courts of praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. It's there for us. It's there for our kids. It's up to us to make sure that it's passing down to our children. You know, we have several grandchildren. We got 4 great-grandchildren. And then, wow, what a blessing. And, you know, and we do our best, even it's a struggle. But we do our best to let them know about Jesus. So let's have a quick word of prayer. Father, we just love you and praise you. Thank you for being such a part of our lives. And Lord, just reveal in the scriptures to us, Lord, how we should be praising you, Lord, and giving you the honor and glory. And Lord, that it shouldn't be something that we do behind closed doors or in a special setting, but all the time, Lord, and that we could be a blessing to you and be a blessing to those around us, Lord. And Lord, we know that through things, Lord, that we don't always understand, we know that you're the center of it, you're the part of it, Lord, and we can trust you for what you're going to do. And Lord, just use these words that we're going to say today in a mighty way for your glory. Just draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, when you see Psalms 100, if you're watching TV, turn that TV off and go out and sit on your front porch or your back porch, wherever your special place is. And read that. Read that psalm. See how God is going to talk to you through that. In Psalms 9:1, the psalmist says, I praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart I show forth all thy marvelous works. Wow. Psalms 156, let everything that hath been breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So I don't think anybody's been left out. Has anybody been left out here? So I think God's talking to us all, is he not? Amen. Amen. So and then Psalms 117, 1 and 2. Probably the shortest book. It is the shortest book in the Bible. 2 verses. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. So, you know, and that's just a few verses that I've, you know, you can go in there and go on your computer and send a praise the Lord verses, and they'll be, you know, wow. So God has a lot to say about it. You know, and that's, you know, and again, when we do that, it builds our confidence within ourselves. You know, well, you know, I'm from Sharon Baptist Church, and we're out here today just distributing tracts and stuff, Lord. Do you have a church or something that you go to? That's great. You know, I just come here today. I brought you some brownies, and I want to share what God has done for me today. Do you know that He touched my heart one day and saved me? And He gave me a new character, a new way. So that's what God does. He gives us that confidence to do those types of things, the courage. There's a wealth of knowledge in here. There's more knowledge in here than you'd be amazed at what's in here. You know, we have wonderful preaching and teaching and stuff that's always going on. So again, so God's Word knows that praising is pretty important, wouldn't you think? You know, it's part of our walk as a Christian. So you test whether we are praising God is accepting God, the answers to our prayers and our direction in life. Whew. Even when we don't fully understand what's going on, or we go through something, so I don't understand. But God's there. Instead of getting frustrated with God, as some people I know do, we need to go to God first. Say, Lord, what do you have for me here? What are you trying to teach me? That's what it's about, you know. And then when we go there and, you know, we'll have that peace, that joy in our heart. Amen. And all that. I've been working on our van. And I could always tell when I didn't pray first. Because nothing was getting accomplished very good. And she would tell me, you need to pray about it. So I prayed about it. You know, Lord, I need your help. Things are getting out of hand, and I'm ready to get in the flesh. And he said, okay, I got it. Why didn't you come to me about 2 hours ago? Amen. And then all of a sudden, it all worked. Everything got, man, how simple was that? But again, so ask God for peace, and, you know, and those things where He's leading you. Do we praise God then? Then when we go through the difficult times, do we praise God? It's hard to praise God when we're going through difficult times. But you know, praise Him because He's with us. And He knows exactly what we're going through. Maybe there's somebody that's watching you and to see how you're going through that. And they're amazed. You know, Brother Tim, I can't believe you went through this. With all your eye problems and stuff, I can't believe that you're still praising God. Because God is good. Amen? So, how often, you know, we pray for a new job or a sick spouse or children to grow in the Lord or financial situation or a number of things as we talk about in here. Yeah. And what we're telling God is, hey, I need you. I need you to intervene in my life. And then while you're intervening, help me to have that peace and joy in the direction that you're going to lead me. You know. So when we think about that, and there's a song, I've been playing it in the nursing home. You know, we get frustrated and stuff like that. And it's a children's song. I played it today. And the name of the song, He's Still Working on Me. Well, I'm 70 years old. Oh, I told you I'd do that. I'm 70 years old. And He's still working on me. Amen. And that's what it's all about. You know, that He's still working on me. And guess what? I got a few of the courses. I'm going to share the course with you about it. Simple. The pastor says to keep things simple, doesn't he? All the time. Well, most of us know, you know, He's still working on me to make me what I need to be. That's the course. Well, let's go to the verses. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge him yet. There's an unfinished part, but I'll be better just according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hands. And another course, in the mirror of his word reflections I see, make me wonder why he's never gave up on me, but he loves me as I am and helps me when I pray. Remember, he's the potter and I'm the clay. You know one thing I like about that? Is that he never gives up on me. Wow, when you think about that. Here's that man that carried that cross up to Calvary, did all that for me. And maybe I've done a few things I shouldn't have done, but he didn't give up on me. But I do believe that when I got to a point in my life, God said, now's the time. Either you make the choice now, or I'm going to put you on the bookshelf. I've told you that, my testimony of that, is that I heard a sermon. If I kept saying no, God was going to close the book and I didn't want that to happen. So I made that decision. But he never gave up on me. And that's what, you know, and I remember when Mom used to take us, just, I didn't pay attention. I didn't have this. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and I didn't have what that. But Mom took us to church and stuff. You know, so what a blessing it is that he doesn't give up on us. And he wants us to succeed. Old Slewfoot, I think we were talking about, said, he don't want us to succeed, does he? He wants us to fall on our face. He wants us to discredit God and everything else. But, you know, one of the things I always tell him in the nursing home, too, greater is he that's in here than he that's in the world. Amen? So those things are wonderful when we think about that. And then Matthew wrote, when Jesus asked a question, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, some say Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So I ask you today, who is Jesus to you? Is he the Christ in your life, the living God that he desires to be? So again, with that question, Jesus says, my what? Here's a thought to consider that I came across. I don't know who the author was. The attitude of men and women towards God and Christ will reveal the state of their hearts and seal their eternal destiny. Whether rising again to the everlasting life of love and peace, or being forever separated from God into an eternal damnation. No one person has ever made a difference in this world like Jesus. And people keep turning away from him. So when we think about, Christians describe Jesus as their Savior. Do you describe him as your Savior? Jesus is their provider, their peacemaker, their friend, their symbol of justice, their teacher, their role model. He's all that when you think about it. And additionally to that, many say that he's their king, their Lord, their counselor, their deliverer, their best friend. And then added to that, he's the center of hope, center of forgiveness, center of mercy, center of grace, and the focal point of compassion and kindness. And we're just scratching the surface of who he is. So you think about that. So I ask you again, who is Jesus to you? A simple definition is that he's the Son of God. He's the creator of the world. He's the creator of all things. He created you so he could walk up that path knowing that we needed a Savior. That's 650 yards. So when we think about that, Jesus is, again, as we talk, the central figure. He's the Son of God, the incarnation of God in the flesh. He's the Messiah, or the Christ, the descendant of King David, the Savior of the world who came to take away the sins of the world. He's fully God and fully man. He's a great teacher of the scriptures. He's a good person, since only God is good, who is worthy to be in, being impersonated or married. Now, you can put all this, I have things written out beside, but you can put all that stuff beside it. The New Testament of the Bible contains accounts of Jesus' life and ministry in the four Gospels. Christians believe that Jesus' death on the cross was atoned for all our sin, and the resurrection offers humans salvation and eternal life. Do you believe that? Amen. All right, I'm trying to remember that fancy word I talked about a little while ago, boisterously vocal. Amen. So here are some things that Christians believe about Jesus. He physically died on that cross. Do you believe that? He ascended to heaven. He reigns in heaven and has dominion over everything. He sanctifies those who believe in him. He defends those who believe him against the devil and the power of sin. Amen? Amen. So when you think about all these things about Jesus, have you ever thought how much he loves you? So Jesus, you know, his love is gentle, is it not? His love is faithful and merciful. His love is compassionate. His love is unfathomable. His love is unconditional. His love is forgiving and full of grace. Whew. His love always, is always with us. He'll never leave us. His love is eternal. His love is protective. His love is sacrificial. And his love is inseparable from us. Nothing can separate us from Jesus. Wow. Again, there's that man walking up that path to Calvary, bleeding profusely, not even recognizable as a man. He went to that cross for me, for you. Amen. And then that's when we need to sit back. When you see that cross up there, what do you see? Oh, it's just a decoration ornament. No, what do you see when you come in here to worship? Jesus hung on that cross for me. And he made a difference in honor. And I want to give him praise and honor and glory. You know, that's what he's done. And this is what us, you know, these folks in the nursing homes, they're a lot like us. You know, and when we go to the Hampton one, they were excited. We got talking about things, having conversations with people you never thought could talk. But you'll be surprised what God can do. So, with everything that we've heard, and it's pretty amazing how one man, the God-man, could do everything we've talked about, and even more. Do you see how personal Jesus is? We live in a world where people know about Jesus. They might be able to quote the whole Bible to you and stuff like that, but they don't know him personally. That's what makes Jesus and being a Christian is all about, is because our God wants to get personal with us. And, you know, that personal, that's important when we think about that. And that's where the world is missing out. You know, so that's, you know, so we want to make sure that we know that he's in our hearts and all that. You know, Jesus says, loving, personable, and all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present, and waiting for us to call upon him. Not only for salvation, which is probably the most important decision we could ever make, is asking Jesus to come into our heart. Amen. But then he's waiting to hear from us. Lord, thank you for walking that 650 yards to the cross for me, so I could spend eternity with you. So when you think about that, you can go to Psalms 100 and read that song. There's another song that I like I've listened to this song 30, 40 times. Just one day at a time, sweet Jesus. You can go on YouTube and listen to it. and all that. And it's an awesome, awesome song to listen to. One thing I, you know, for me personally, it helps me when I sit down. You know, I've done all my Bible reading and whatever other things I've read and stuff like that, is I'll put the headphones on and put some music on. Then I get in that quiet moment, and it's just like all of a sudden, you know, I'm really personal with Jesus. And I might not even hear the music, but, you know, my thoughts of all are about Christ and what he's doing, how he's working, what he's doing in our family, what he's doing in our friends. You know, am I being an example for Christ as I walk through my own journey through life? Those are things that God wants to work in, and that's how he works on us. One thing that we've done is we've turned the TV off. We've turned the news off. We were probably spending 8 hours a day in the news there for a long time. Now it's less than an hour. And all that. Even when I do the internet, I might read all the headlines. I don't care what happened. I just see what's going on. But you know what? When I open this, I see the headlines all over of how Jesus is working in my life, in my family's life. And how we need to go to him in prayer and share with him what's going on in our lives, the concerns we have. But you know, also giving him their adoration, the glory that he deserves. Think about that. I told the folks, and I tell them all the time, when you sing a song, you better, this is tuning you up for heaven. You think you're going to be sitting on the couch? I don't think so. So you need to start singing boisterously, vocaling the things of God. It would be nice, you know, Ed or John. Ed or John are up there leading the music. And all of a sudden, the rafters start. Woo, 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 woo. Amen? I've been to a few men's retreats where there are like 200 or 300 men in there. And man, when they sing, that building shakes. You know, and that's what we should be doing when we come in here to worship. Lifting those songs up. Seeing what God is teaching us or showing us through the song. And then it prepares us for when the man of God gets up here and preaches. You're that carol. Amen, preacher! This is what he did for me.
Amen.
You know, we don't want to be a silent Christian. Our Savior wasn't silent. He was very visible for everybody to see. He loved everybody, didn't he? He may have had some good arguments with folks, but he still loved them. And the same way, you know, that's for us. You know, that we should just take one day at a time. Let God work in our lives and see where he's going. So when we come out here on a Saturday for outreach, if Jesus can walk that road with a cross on his back, bleeding to death, for me, I'm just speaking for me personally, I can put a couple of door hangers out there. I can walk to my neighbor with some brownies and say, "How you doing today? I haven't seen you around in a while." Those are things that we can do. We can't get out and walk miles upon miles like we used to. But you know what? God still can use us.
Amen.
Remember, Jesus worked up to his dying breath. And we need to, you know, have that same, that mentality of that. Amen? So again, give praise unto the Lord every day. Every time you can exalt him, when you're in a crowd, lift his name up somehow. Praise the Lord. What are you praising the Lord for? Well, look what he just did. Because they don't see that. because they're at it, because they know of God, but they're not, they don't know Him personally. So again, so whenever you're gathered together with family and friends, praise the Lord. Give Him that place of honor that He surely deserves. You know, and we do that. Whew, you watch God work. Let's pray. Father, we love You.